Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. That peace of mind means so, so much for these families. So join me in helping St. Jude in this fight. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
I love bacon. It's hard to find somebody who doesn't love bacon. All bacon's good, right? Yeah, but some bacon is next level. And when I talk about next level, I'm talking about Right brand bacon. We had so much up here that the guys on the show were fighting for it. Eddie posted a big case of it that he took home. Right brand is the number one thick cut, hand trimmed, real wood smoked bacon. You just have to try it to believe. So bacon lovers, do yourself a big favor. Go out and get yourself some Right brand bacon today. It's time you experience bacon the right way.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Let's go! Welcome to Thursday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Okay, Amy, what happened?
So I'm at the UPS store, and there's a long line, about 10 people-ish. And this woman walks in and just goes straight to the front. Her entire...
She worked there? She was like...
No, she was a customer. And I'm at this UPS store all the time.
Was she in line already? And then
no.
She went...
Oh. But her vibe was... I started to think, like, did I miss something?
Right.
Was she here? And, like, someone was holding her place? Because her vibe when she walked in was like, I'm more important than all of you, and here I go. And so she straight up goes to the front and acts like that. I am not the type of person to say anything, so I don't. But there's a man in line, and he says something.
Yes.
And he called her out, and he was like, ma'am, we have all these people in line. I mean, but she ignored him and did her thing and got done what she needed to get done.
She went ahead and did everything?
Yeah, like it did not faze her. Almost to where I started to think, like, is she delusional and living in her own world? But I was cringing for the guy. I cringed for her, but then I cringed for the guy that called her out, because that's just not in my personality to do that. So it just got me curious, like, what y'all would do in that situation.
I'm not a big conflict guy unless it really needs it, then I have no problem with it. I'm that whole Enneagram. I'm an 8, which is a challenger, obviously.
Yeah.
But if somebody cuts line, that's the ultimate line. It's the ultimate sign of disrespect, because you are saying that your time is more important than their time. Now, it's different if somebody comes in and goes, hey, I got a kid out in the car. Would you mind if I cut? Or at the airport, I'm about to miss my flight.
Yeah.
Well, go on through. I've been there. Come on through. And I'm always mad at people who don't let them through. That being said, if you're just a cutter, I hate you. That's all. I hate
you.
Yeah, I hate you. That's absolute disrespect in you thinking you are better than other folks. And I will say something. Only two real reasons I'll say something. Cutting in line, people talking at the movies. Because again, you think your time, space is so much more important than everybody else's that you can ruin everybody else's experience because you got something you want to say out loud. So I've thought I'm going to get beat up a couple times at the movies. Shh. Hey, we're trying to watch a movie. And I'm all big shot. And immediately I'm like, oh, I'm about to get beat up. Oh, God. But yeah, I would have said something.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't often go, I would have definitely said something. But for sure. Once we were at Zara in the mall, somebody cut in front of Caitlin and I.
And that line is long.
It's long.
There's never a time
it takes
when the Zara
forever.
Line is short.
And we are in there. And
I don't even care if you have clothes, and let's say Caitlin and I are together and she has a bunch of clothes and she gets in line and puts them with my clothes and this is now one pile, we're together. I don't mind that. That's not my favorite thing, but I don't mind that, and I'm not going to call you out for that because you're together. But this person let like their friend get in line with them with a separate pile of clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, come on, get in line with me. No. I said, hey, that's same ticket. I don't know why I said that.
Same ticket.
Are y'all in the same building?
And they were like, they didn't even answer me because they didn't know what I was talking. And I was like, yeah, you guys there. Are you guys together, paying together? And they're like, no. I said, well, there's no cutting in line. And then I heard a guy behind me go, yeah.
He just backed you up.
Well, it made me feel good because I thought, in case I was about to get beat up by these early 20 girls, that he had my back. And they were like, oh, sorry, we didn't know. And they walked back.
You knew.
And they knew.
They knew.
They definitely knew. Well, I'm sad though that she got to go in and do all that.
Well, it didn't really like affect my day that much. It's like one person, but when the guy called her out, I was like, ooh.
I like that.
And it did nothing.
I like that.
Crazy.
It did nothing.
It did not. I think she was
delusional. You know what I would have said something to? I would have said something to the person at UPS. Like, whoa, sir. She did cut
no
in line.
No way.
Oh, Amy, there's only two times I'll do that.
That is ultimate tattle.
Okay, no. I'm standing up for everybody else in line with us.
Okay.
All right. Justice, American way. That's my superpower. All right, let's go and open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. My wife and I have a one-month-old child. We have decided it would be cheaper on us for her to stay home and take care of our daughter since daycare is so expensive. I've got a new job. I work 60 hours a week so she can take care of her kid, which I'm greatly appreciative of. But it seems when I come home, nothing is done. I understand that a baby's a lot to take care of and it's a hard job, but is it a little too much to ask for the house to be decently picked up? Mm-hmm. She's just sitting on the couch every day when I come home, and when I ask her what she's done all day, she has trouble coming up with things. I know this sounds petty, but I work a manual blue-collar job, and I'm exhausted when I come home. What can I do? Thank you for your advice. Sincerely, a tired husband. All right, Lunchbox, I hear you over there making noises.
Oh, man, I feel you. Because my wife, our house is so messy. Well, guess what you're doing all day? She stays at home with the kid. Go ahead and clean. I'm busy. The kid's so hard. Well, you watched 3 episodes of Law & Order. I feel you. This guy, hey. I might as well wrote this email.
Did you? Is that Lunchbox?
I mean,
minus the blue collar, because you're not a tired husband.
And you don't work 60 hours
That's
a week,
true.
Bro.
I mean, because I tell you what, I just don't understand how the house is so messy. What you got all day?
Why are you yelling? What are you born saying?
All day. This was like speaking to me.
Why? Well, what does she say if you say that to her?
Oh, it's just the baby was fussy and it's so hard with the baby around. And
do you believe her?
Some days, but not every day. The baby ain't fussy every day. Guess what? Baby take a nap. Uh-huh. Baby take 2 nap.
What would
baby
you
take
like?
3 nap. You know what I mean? Like,
What would you tell him then?
I tell him, look, man, you tell her, hey, I understand it's hard with the baby, but guess what? You want to trade positions? I guarantee you the house would be cleaner if I was home. You go work 60 hours a week. See how tired you are.
So that's what you say to your wife.
And have you fixed it?
Man, some days. Some days it's like, yo, dish is still here.
Can you
done.
Imagine living with Lunchbox? He's the dirtiest person we know.
Yeah, he's pretty dirty. So, okay, you have only fixed it somewhat.
Somewhat. It is almost impossible because they'll use that baby excuse for the rest of your life. That's what they'll throw. Oh, well, you take care of a baby. Yeah, guess what? When the baby gets a little older, she'll be sipping margaritas by the pool. And they say, oh, sorry, I couldn't clean because the baby, you know, wanted to go swimming. Oh, so busy.
Yeah, very emotional right now.
Yeah, man.
Fired up.
Okay, so your final advice to him is what?
Just stay on her. Okay. Stay on her. And just know that baby's going to get thrown in your face all the time.
Okay, Lunchbox.
We're good there. So your advice is stay on her. Amy.
No, I nothing that Lunchbox has said. I'd say have a little compassion and grace and understanding. I don't know the dynamics of their relationship, but I don't know if the baby cries in the middle of the night. Who's getting up? Mm-hmm. Like, is she getting adequate rest? Does she have different hormones running through her body because she's a new mom? Like, there's all kinds of things that could be going on, and you need to check in with her and comfort her. What if she's got some real stuff going on, and it's like, sorry, the last thing I want to do is clean up after you?
Yeah.
That's okay. What I would say.
Eddie?
I would find a nicer way to say, stay on her. Like
thank you.
I think what he's saying is true. You know, I mean, that is part of the duties of staying home.
Like, stop.
It is.
I don't want to sound old-fashioned.
Why can't you go home and help?
Because they both do. They sound so, I can't even listen to them talk right now.
Okay, but let's listen. Go ahead. Eddie, it's your turn to talk.
The only reason I say this is because recently we have gone through this where we had to change roles a little bit. My wife is now working full time, so guess what? I get home around 2 o'clock and I've got to pick up the slack.
And you're not home at 2. You're still here at 2.
Not most days.
Go ahead.
Some days. So I understand what it's like to not get help or to stay home all day and do all the job while I'm working. So I understand his frustration that he gets home, he's been working all day, and it's dirty still.
What should he do?
He needs to talk to her.
And say what?
And say exactly how he's feeling.
Okay.
He's got to say exactly what he's feeling.
And then she says, you don't know what it's like to have to, it's a baby.
And I would say, if I didn't have to work for 9 hours a day or whatever, it was this blue collar, strenuous job, I would help you. I would try my best. And he can pitch in and do one thing here and there. But for the most part, he's got to tell her, I'm really tired and I need you to pick up the slack.
Amy, final thoughts.
I do think couples need to meet each other where they are. And I think there's a certain percentage of like, hey, what can you bring to the table today to where we can like get this done? But we're getting Cliff's Notes version here in this email, and without knowing really what's going on with her, I just feel bad saying a blanket statement of like, you need to really pitch in around here. Like, I would sit down with her and be like, hey, clearly something's going on, and maybe there's some big feelings here. How can we unpack this, and how can we come up with a solution and work together to come up with a plan?
Yeah, I think you both need to just write the chores down and split them.
There we
go. No, there ain't no split. Split.
That's it.
You maybe not 50-50, but
no,
split
no, 50-50.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not,
it.
Okay. This is just part of the deal, you being a stay-at-home mom. No, she's...
Okay. Thank you all for your input.
We're split.
To the emailer, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you for emailing the show. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Amy, what did you see?
Well, so I was in line at the grocery store, and the guy ahead of me was just in a bad mood. Like, he just was frustrated, grumpy. You could tell he wasn't hiding it from anybody. And what I saw was the cashier just speak into him and offer him, like, therapeutic advice. And she just said, you know what?
Well, what was happening with the guy?
I'm
assuming
no idea.
It was a guy. All grumps are grumps.
It was a man.
Yeah.
He was older. He just clearly was having a bad day and was very frustrated, and he was grumpy and he was just irritated, and he's like, no, that's not mine. This is like, he's just rude.
It wasn't Lunchbox, was it?
It sounds like it.
Oh, that impression sounded like Lunchbox.
No, it wasn't. But she spoke into him and I was like, oh, look at her. She has an opportunity to encounter so many people every day when she's checking them out at the grocery store. And I Googled what she said right away because I was like, is that a famous quote? And then I wrote it down and she said to him straight up, I hope your day gets better, and remember, every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. And so she was encouraging him to find the good in the day, because clearly he could not see anything positive around him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's originally from Alice Morris Earle, and she's from the late 1800s or something. But
classic. I used to love her.
I know.
Yeah,
so remember, every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day.
Did the guy accept it? Like, was he like,
I think he was
cool.
Like sort of caught off guard.
What I heard was he walked and did one of those heel clicks to the side. He was like, that's great news. A click. And he had a wonderful day.
I hope it resonated with him. When he got into his car, he's like, oh, you know what? I don't need to like be rude to people and I need to look for the good. And even if you are having a bad day, it doesn't give you the right to just, you know, be rude to people at the grocery store.
And you could hear that and go, well, that's a corny saying. Because you know what? It is corny, but it's lovely. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. We already know that, right? We know that.
Yes.
We're told, but sometimes it's just good to hear it and be reminded, even if it is corny. And go, my focus is off. I should find something good. I should have gratitude for something when normally I don't. Heck, I don't. Some days I go like, 20 years.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
No, you're not going to say a day. Nope. Like, okay, I go 20 years, and I'll just be like, dang it, all these things did not go my way. Either I was born into it or I created it. But there's so many things that we don't appreciate because they happen for us in a positive way. We almost just assume they should happen instead of appreciating that they do. It's like judging someone's intentions and actions. We judge other people on actions. We judge ourselves on intentions. And that ain't quite fair.
That ain't quite fair how we judge others by actions and us intentions. We know, wow, I meant to do it. I felt this way, so I'm going to give myself a pass. But we don't judge other people like that. We're like, what did they do? So just a little check-in. I think that's a good – I liked it.
I liked it, too. I liked that it was from, you know, cashier to customer. And I wonder how many people she's impacted, because clearly she's someone that cares about her job and her interactions with other humans. And I just thought it was a special moment. And I have gratitude for being able to witness it and also having that reminder for myself, not to ignore, like, if I'm having a bad day, but how to manage it and find something positive somewhere, not like in a toxic positivity type way by any means, but it's just a good reminder.
Yeah, and I can't wait to use it customer to cashier and see how that floats.
Oh, right back at it.
Because sometimes they're a little sour that their day's long.
Yeah.
I've been there. I used to work at Hobby Lobby. And people pull up. They got return. Oh, I don't want this. Oh, you already beeped that. It's not the right color. And I'm like, what's wrong? Could you just shop? Could you just do it? And then... No, you know what? They were probably just having a colorblind day, like myself.
That's
probably
right.
All right, so good story, Amy. I appreciate that. And I think we'll just, we'll split from there. Everybody take a breath. Lunchbox, when you hear that, how does that make you feel? Because I feel like, I think you're a nice guy. I think you're obnoxious, but people will ask, is he really like that on the off the air? And the answer is yes, but I think we see just a big version of that because you're performing a little bit. When she says that, what do you think?
Annoyance. I'm like, I don't need your advice. Like, just let me get my groceries and get out of here. Like, you don't need to preach to me about the world and what's going on in the world and how the world's a better place and it's a good place to be here and I can find something good in every day. Like,
You don't need to be reminded of that at all.
No, I don't need it. I don't need you to be a philosophy major. I was going to say a big philosopher, but I didn't know one, so.
Socrates.
Oh, that's the one.
Descartes.
Who?
Aristotle. Plato. Mark Twain.
Wow.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, you could use any.
Yeah, I just don't need any of those. I don't need quotes from the 1800s.
You don't want inspiration.
Just say,
from
hey,
anywhere?
Your total's this. Do you want paper or plastic? Let's move on with my life.
All right. There you have it. Some people are like Lunchbox.
Yeah, they're just fine.
Different strokes for different folks. Yeah.
That's what I say.
You say that, or I said that and you liked it?
Yeah, that's more like
that
it.
One.
Right. I think someone else started that, guys. Honestly.
All right. Bobby Bones
Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Nico Moon is releasing a new EP called Coastin'. He co-wrote and co-produced all 5 tracks on the project. It will be out on Friday, June 10th. L. King talked about going on tour with Miranda Lambert.
I was just like blown away by how she treated everyone. You can tell about the environment by how happy everyone is. And there's no grumpy bad apples in her bunch. Everybody's happy. She takes really good care of everyone. And she's a friend to everybody. And you feel like you're a friend when you're on tour with her.
Ryan Hurd gave advice to graduates and shared how anything is possible.
My advice to all of you would be to try everything. You don't have to know what you're going to do the rest of your life right now. If you do, then go after it. But I was a sociology major in college, and now I'm a songwriter, so anything is possible.
I'm Morgan. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
So up near D.C., there's a woman named Maybell who just celebrated her 82nd birthday. And then after that, the day after her birthday, she walked across the stage to graduate from the University of Maryland Global Campus. She got her bachelor's degree in business management. She's going to use that degree in her event planning business, which, by the way, she's been running since 1994. She is a retired nurse. She's been recognized multiple times for her involvement in her community. In 2012, she was awarded the Howard County Lifetime Achievement Award. And then I could just go down all the awards she's been given. And now that she has her degree, she says the sky is the limit. And she also wants to be an example to others to just do what you want to do. Don't let age hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Here's a clip of Maybell saying what her mantra is.
I feel excited. I feel accomplished. And I just feel that I have followed my dream. And one of my mantras is, it's never too late to follow your dream.
Love it.
One of her mantras. She has many mantras. I mean, she's 82nd walking across a graduation stage. I just want to be 82 and walking.
Right.
Just
anywhere.
Walking. Don't care across. Just walking. That's an awesome story. Maybell, that is amazing. And that is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
It's the battle of generations. Let's play Elder versus Millennial. Teddy.
Come on.
These are questions that Morgan will probably know the answer to her being over 10 years younger than you. What does the acronym HMU stand for? If I texted you, HMU. And I will quickly text HMU sometimes.
HMU. Have my underwear?
Well, not to you. I wouldn't text that. Although, there is a chance you could have my underwear.
Right?
Yeah,
there's always a chance.
If I'm being honest, yeah. Have my underwear is your answer. That's incorrect. Yeah. Morgan, HMU stands for what?
Hit me up.
Hit me up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you want to reach out, HMU.
That's easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's not hair and makeup?
It is not. All right, here we go. Elder versus millennial. They get three questions each. Up first, he's the dad of four. I call him the Hispanic who don't panic. He drives a Jeep with four big old wheels. And lately, he's been spending too much time shooting Instagram reels. That's right. It's producer Eddie, everybody. Yay! All right, question number two, Eddie. A Thousand Years by Christina Perry was a song used in the soundtrack in what movie franchise? And here is a clip. I have died every day
waiting for you. Twilight.
Right at it, huh?
That's my friend Paul's wife.
I know, crazy, huh?
Kind of helps
is
out.
Correct. All right. Eddie, this show premiered on the Disney Channel in 2007. Here is the theme song. What's the name of this show? Well, you know, everything's going to be a breeze. Then we'll no doubt justify the means. We can fix any problem with the slightest of peace.
Yes, please. But you might find out. Wow. It'll go to your head. That sounds like Selena Gomez.
Who?
That's not her.
No, who?
Selena Gomez. What'd I say?
It's like Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Wizards of Waverly Place.
That's correct.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Wow!
Finally
got
all these years.
How did you know that?
I didn't.
I think Mike was trying to slip that one in.
Thank you, Mike.
I was hoping. I was trying not to smile, Mike, on that one. All right, now she'll get three questions. His opponent. She runs all of our digital. She's from the city of Wichita. Knowing geography's her only flaw. It's a big one, too, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty big one.
It's Morgan, number two.
Yeah.
Eddie, how old are you?
43.
Morgan, you are?
28.
Morgan, three questions. Released in 1992, what arcade game allowed players to battle opponents in one-on-one matches with deadly consequences? Here's one of the character Scorpion's catchphrase.
Get over here!
What game has this sound in it right here?
Get over here!
Gosh, I did not know. I can picture some like battle of some kind, but Flasher. It's not Pac-Man. I know Pac-Man. It's not Zelda. Maybe it is Zelda.
Ah. Answer, Morgan.
Clash of the Titans.
Never heard of it. All right,
wow.
Eddie.
Mortal Kombat.
Correct, yes. Yes. I haven't thought about Zelda, though, in a long time, so thank you, Morgan, for that.
And the gold tape.
That's a
gold
good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Morgan, what 80s movie starred Kevin Bacon and is about a city teenager who moves to a small town where rock music and dancing have been banned?
Footloose.
Footloose it is.
Yes.
There you go.
Love that movie.
Here's a clip of Footloose. Hit it. Now I gotta cut loose. All right, for the tie, Morgan.
Okay.
This is a clip. It's a catchphrase from what cartoon character?
Eat my shorts.
That's it. That's all I get.
He's saying, eat my shorts.
Eat my shorts.
Cartoon character.
You have to get it to tie. So if you miss it, Eddie wins.
Come on. Eat my shorts. A cartoon character. I don't get a year from that one.
It's a very famous saying in line. It was so famous. I had a t-shirt, and it had this character on it, and there was a bubble, and it said, eat my shorts, and you would have thought that I was saying curse words in church. I went, they were like, I can't believe you have that shirt on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I was allowed to watch it.
Morgan?
South Park.
No, and we're looking for the exact character. Eddie?
You're looking for the character?
Yeah.
That's Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson. I'm Bart Simpson. Who are you?
Come on, man.
Yeah. That means with a 3-2 score,
wow.
Our older, wow. Elder Eddie winning the game.
Yeah. Woo.
Nice job, Eddie.
Thank you, man.
Thought we'd get that Wizards Waverly Place out of the way.
The bad thing, though, is now that's going to be gone. It's like, you won't use that one again.
You never know.
You can still give it a try.
You never know.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Thura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's my number one pet peeve, Amy?
Being late.
Yeah. If you have to be late occasionally because something happens, I understand that. Sometimes life happens. However, if you're late and it's just because you didn't put in the effort or you did it, that's on you. And that means you think your time is more valuable than everybody else's in this room. We have a rule on this show. If you're 1 minute late, you might as well not come to work. Because, well, Eddie, you think you're more important than Ray? He got here on time.
No, I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody's been late in like 2 years. However, occasionally someone will go, hey, Eddie, go, hey, my kid's got an issue, got to school, He'll tell me that like 2 hours before. I'm like, great. If you're a little late, that's okay.
2 hours. I can't lie about that.
Right. Yet. So I don't like late. If somebody's having a party, like for example, Amy's at parties at her house. And she's like, all right, we're all coming over. We'll start at 7. What time do I get there?
Early.
Like?
Before 7.
Oh,
like
yeah,
6:30,
that's true.
And then it's awkward.
You're the first one there.
And then he just sits there.
You don't even help.
Well, I don't want to be late, you know? So I do. I go up and be like, there's nobody here. Mm-hmm. And Amy's like in a robe. Hey, I'm here. And so I can also leave earlier, too.
But also, like, going to an event with you. We were going to something for work one time. And I ended up riding with you, and you were there so early that I just asked you if we could please just go drive somewhere and park for a second before we pulled up. Because there was no reason for us to get there early. It would have been awkward because it was like fancy and we were already out of place. So it was like,
Parked down the road and
yeah, we parked,
sat for a minute.
We waited.
Weird.
We just talked.
What y'all talk about?
Well, I don't even remember.
I don't like being late, probably.
I just remember being like, let's go park somewhere really quick because this is weird.
So how late should you be to a party? That's the question.
Okay.
If the party's at 7, Amy, what time do you get there?
7:15. That's okay.
Eddie?
7:30.
Oh, that's too late.
Lunchbox?
7:20.
Well, if the party's at 7, you should get there at 7:38.
What? Wow. 38 minutes?
It says you won't be the first one there, and that's good. But you won't come in awkwardly after things are really rolling. So it's a 38-minute theory. I like the 5-minute early theory.
The awkwardness.
Yeah, I like that one. Something else I wanted to mention. I was looking out my window yesterday, and I saw a cardinal fly over and land on, like, the pole. And
red
I thought,
one?
Well, yeah, I mean, aren't they?
They're red and brown.
Yeah. Well, I saw a cardinal and I said, well, I wonder if that's Amy's mom.
Yeah.
You thought that?
I don't think her mom's in a cardinal, but I did go, well, I wonder, because Amy thinks her mom, who's not with us anymore, is in a cardinal, a bird. So.
I don't know that I really think she's in the bird, but it is like, yes. Whenever I see a cardinal, I say, hey, mom. Stuff like that.
Oh, man.
And so I was driving, and a cardinal landed, like, I don't know, down. Like, there's a 2-lane road opposite traffic, and the car coming the opposite way hit the cardinal, and it died.
No.
I don't even want to say it. Did you go, bye, Mom? Yeah.
I know. But it was like, oh, okay, well, rest in peace, cardinal, a.k.a.
Did you
Mom.
Think there
and
was
then
a
now
chance
I've been
mom
thinking.
Mom was that cardinal.
No.
Okay. Not that one.
No way is that one.
But
that
I wonder, I feel like my dad has shown up as a blue jay, and they're just like, sometimes a cardinal and a blue jay show up, and it's like, oh, wow, you know, my parents were divorced, but I'm like, look at them now, you know, like hanging out.
You know, the other day a blue jay ran into my window, and I don't know if it made it.
Oh, gosh.
At my house.
Does Amy have any, like,
why are, you...
are like crows or uncles? Like, is every bird?
No, they don't.
Who's a buzzard?
Well, actually, crows are quite smart. They get a bad reputation.
Weren't. No one said
crows.
They weren't. Yeah.
But, like...
I just think it's funny she says, well, look at these two birds. They're back together.
Well, so, no, I just... Know? That's just a thought. But you, when I said that, you looked at me like I was crazy town.
Because you went, my mom and dad are back together. They're good for you.
Yeah, no, it's just
two birds.
It's just a thought. But anyway, the cardinal died right in front of my face, and I didn't know if that's like a warning, trying to tell me something, like, be on guard.
It's watch out for cardinals when you're driving because you might smash into one.
Yeah.
That's the warning.
Yeah, that's the warning. And you could wreck. Okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna play a little love song for the cardinal and the blue jay that Amy saw in her yard. This is a voicemail from Lauren in North Carolina.
Remind Lunchbox that a lot of major actors started in very small roles before they became big actors. So he shouldn't be so selective on the roles that he chooses. A lot of big actors actually did indie movies before they got major motion pictures. So just something to think about.
Yeah, Lunchbox turned down a role in a little movie, a little spaghetti western, because he didn't want to go to Chillicothe, Ohio.
Well, guys, it wasn't me. My agent said it wasn't best for my career. So yes, you're right. We have to be selective when you're getting a movie role. You want to make sure it's the right part for you.
I feel like sometimes on this show doing the old Zach Morris timeout and then just like talking to our audience.
Yes.
Like, hey, guys, Lunchbox doesn't have an agent.
It's really him.
It's really him. Time in. You know, because he would pause everything. He'd be like, Morgan, did you ever see Zach Morris pause?
Yeah.
Time? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's like sometimes you guys are talking and I'm like, well, this is obviously bullcrap. Time out. Here's Joni from Pittsburgh.
I just want an update from Amy on the green light meeting for her sister's show, Building Roots. I want to know if they had the meeting yet, and do we get to look forward to a second season?
Any update, Amy?
No updates. I don't know that the green light meeting has happened. I thought it was in a couple weeks, but it might be in the month of June. So maybe we'll know more then.
Okay. Thank you for that. Amy's sister has a show on HGTV called Building Roots. And if you're ever flipping through and you see Amy, no, that's her sister.
Oh, yes.
They look that much alike.
Multiple people DM me. They're like, it's so crazy. There's this girl on HGTV. She looks just like you. And I love her flying. Yeah, that's my sister.
Finally, here's Christy from Virginia.
Question. Do we think Eddie's sadness comes from the crying doll being burned in his fire pit? Just a thought. Ooh. Have a good day.
Eddie has been down. Interesting. To the point where he's like, guys, I'm just sad. And, you know, we're organizing some therapy for him, like all seriousness. And I think you have the right to feel that way. Not you, just generally anybody.
Sure.
There are times where you feel this way. And when you do, you try to find that rope to pull yourself out. Sometimes it's a quick rope. Sometimes it's not. But as long as you're pulling, you're working. That's all you can ask for. Now, we've got a new wrinkle here. The haunted doll. Do you think it could be bringing sadness? Because if you remember, when Lunchbox put it in his house, his wife was like, I just feel sad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do remember that. And I put all the blame on kind of just the chaotic environment in my house. I feel like all day is just a struggle all day. But man, I wasn't really feeling sad before he burned the doll at my house.
And I wouldn't think it was just a doll, but his wife also felt like this heavy sadness when the doll was in her house.
Well, because the doll had a tear in its eye, which is like part of its, I guess, spell or whatever. So I don't believe in that crap. I really don't. But the coincidence is crazy.
So thank you. By the way, if you want to have a question for us and you can't get through, call our voicemail line, 877-77-BOBBY. Easy peasy. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
A guy in California built a remote control air horn to blast every time his neighbor's dog barks. And here's a clip of it in action.
Dog Zapper 2000.
Well, the dog feels like he's got a buddy, right? So the dog's talking back. It's, you know what? I don't hate that. I would, this is me thinking out loud and thinking on the spot here. I think the dog gets 10 to 12 free barks a day or an hour because it's a dog, right? And then once they hit that threshold, horn away, because that's the neighbor needing to know that's annoying and I'm going to pay you back with annoyance.
Right.
Like dog is going to dog and a dog is going to bark some and that's okay. But I think that's hilarious. I thought it was going to be meaner than that.
Oh, so you think it's clever?
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, I feel like it's cruel to all the other neighbors that have to hear
then
the air
horn. The neighbor's fault with the dog. Calm your dog down. Because, yes, a dog can bark, and it should get a few free barks.
I feel like the horn's just making the dog bark more.
It is, and still goes back to the neighbor. For sure, the dog's barking back. He's right. What up, horn? Yeah, me too. All right, what else?
So the top causes of foodborne illness have been put out by Huffington Post because Memorial Day is coming up, a lot of summer barbecues, and the top reason is
Salmonella.
Your friends. No, your friends.
Oh, don't wash their hands.
Exactly.
What?
Germs from your friends. This is the number one they call risky behavior. If your friends don't wash their hands properly or sanitize them frequently, then boom, you're asking for a foodborne illness.
Well, I'm asking for it because none of these knuckleheads wash their hands.
I try to remember
you
to
fake
wash
it
my
sometimes.
Hands. Sometimes.
Yeah, Lunchbox never even fakes it. At least I admire him for
I
that.
I saw Lunchbox the other day just get the napkin and not wash his hands at all.
He gives it a dry run. Yeah. That's called a dry rub. Yeah. What else, Amy?
Another thing to look out for is food being left out in the sun too long because food that is supposed to be kept hot should be kept hot. Food that's supposed to be kept cold should be kept cold. So don't leave it sitting out. And I'm like, I'm the worst at this.
I call it sun cooking.
I leave food out all the time.
You can brew tea in the sun, but you can't brew a little piece of meat.
But they say that's just like, you know, you're gambling with it there. And then meat that's undercooked should never touch any other contaminated things. Like have a designated countertop space for that. If you use a fork utensil for the raw meat, once the meat is cooked, don't use that fork again to pick up the meat.
Yeah, I don't do that. I forget sometimes. I forget which one's which, and I just reassign it. I'm like, yes, that's the one that touched the meat.
Okay, well, do not do that. And then Carly Pierce is sharing that she was bullied quite a bit in high school. She even had two really mean nicknames, Shrek and Heifer. And she says that she's able to laugh about it now because the same girls that used to pick on her now show up at her shows wearing her merch, and some of them have even paid for meet and greets.
Okay.
So that's how you get back at your bully, become a country star?
You sing. You have a great time. I don't know. I don't know. Is anything ever positive happen to her? Like, I don't ever hear her being like, this stuff rocks. It's always like, a dude did me wrong. A bully bullied me. Yeah. And listen, that comes from me. And so that's saying a lot. But yeah, she makes good songs though. So maybe maybe we need her to keep having bad days.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Currently on tour with Kenny Chesney, and she was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry last year. So.
Okay, there you go. Well,
happy stuff happening.
There you go.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
11-year-old Carter Dorley, he's a surfer from New Jersey, right? And he loves to surf. Well, during the pandemic, he was super bored. He said, I'm just going to surf every day, see what happens. He's been surfing every single day, and he is up to 750 days of straight surfing. And he wants to get to 1,000 because people now that are watching him do this, they're starting to raise money for charities. Every day he surfs more and more, he's raising money for Surf Aid, Save the Children, local animal rescue, and a local food pantry. He's like, hey, I'm going to hit 1,000 days of straight surfing, bruh.
What's his name?
Carter.
Okay, Carter, if you're listening, don't forget your homework. Sounds like maybe you could be neglecting your schoolwork.
Bruh, he probably does the homework and then goes surf, bruh.
Cool, bruh. Okay, so good. Other than that, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an 11-year-old who's found something that he loves. I have suggested to my wife that I get on Twitch and play video games and raise money for charity all the time.
All right, and what did she say?
She's like, you can just donate.
She's like, Carter, do your homework.
She's like, I said, what if I got on and said, hey, we're raising money for an animal shelter and I'm going to play NBA 2K until we were... She's like, that's interesting. Or we could just donate and you can hang out with our dogs.
Yeah, it'd be super cute if you were 11.
That's funny.
So
but you're 42.
But I think I'll probably do something like that at some point. And I was only using it to play more video games. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Wasn't even about the charity.
Connor's, let's be real. Connor's probably liking to surf every day too.
Hey, but good for him. He's found a way. He's able to give back. And he's 11. What you guys didn't see is every time Eddie would say the word surfer, he would do the hang loose hands.
That's right.
In the studio.
That's right, bro. It just kind of happens, you know, when you talk about surfing or hanging loose.
That was you, right?
Yeah, totally, bro.
All right, there you go. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
90 seconds on the clock. Amy will give us the morning corny. We have to figure it out. Now, if we nail it, we're going to the next morning corny.
Let's go.
What's our record? Three?
Yeah. 3-1.
Oh, man, 3 and 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I like the new wrinkle on the game. Yeah.
All right.
What? I don't.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. I like the,
Amy,
I like
do you have five ready?
I'm wasting jokes.
I like to be pressure. I like the pressure of the game. All right, here we go. 90 seconds on the clock. Go.
The morning corny.
What do you call a man with no shins?
A man with no shins.
Capless. Capless.
All caps. All cap. Cap.
All caps.
All caps.
No. All caps. Huh?
All
caps.
Caps? Like on your keyboard, yeah, all caps.
Caps lock.
No. Caps lock.
No, that's not
what
it.
What do you call a man with no shins?
Knee caps.
Shinless.
Shinless list.
Spineless.
Shinless list.
No.
That's not it.
That's not it.
What do you call a man with no calves?
Minus.
No cap. No shins.
No shins.
Calf.
Minus.
What would be a name, though, right?
Like, oh, a guy.
Fred.
Right.
Calvin.
Mm-hmm. What do you call a guy?
No, okay, so we're taking off the part of the leg.
Yeah.
So we have the thigh, the quad, the thigh foot.
Neiman. Neiman.
Neiman.
Knee fat and knee foot.
Need help?
Guys, I don't think we're setting a record this
time. Oh my gosh.
Amy, ask it again.
What do you call a man with no shins?
What do you call a man with no shins? Slow? I mean, I don't know.
I like the idea of a name. It's got to be a name, right? Like Neil. Neil. Neil.
Neil. Neil. Neil. Neil. Because he has to be on his knees.
Neil.
No, he has his feet still. He doesn't have shins.
Yeah.
And he has his down to his bottom of his knees.
He has feet, toes. No.
You can't say that word. So we'll be bleeping that out on a 7-second delay.
Oops. Great.
Okay. Toes.
What?
The ankles.
No, you can't help us.
Oh.
Are you helping us?
I don't know. I just feel bad for y'all.
Well, we got zero and we had a bleep lunchbox. Oh, well, this is not a successful morning corny.
Hey, lucky for me.
All right, hit it.
The morning corny.
What do you call a man with no shins?
What do you call a man with no shins?
Tony.
Tony.
Tony. We were in the neighborhood.
Kind of.
Yeah, we just didn't go to the right house.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't knock on the right door to get money to get our record expunged.
Not only that, we had to get
you know
a bleep lunchbox.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Amy. Good work. We did not win. I have a list of ridiculous things bought by celebrities. Here we go, Amy. At number 8 on the list is Lady Gaga's $50,000 ghost detector. She claims to see ghosts. And this led her to hire a paranormal expert who then said, you should buy this electromagnetic field reader. It can see ghosts. It's worth $50,000. She bought the best of the best. Like, can't people, like a ghost finder, they can just recommend you do whatever, right?
Right.
Because if you believe it, they're really not going to be able to prove anything except there's some electromagnetic rays, which could be a cell phone or a microwave or.
Yeah. Well, it is totally ridiculous, but she makes so much money. I try to think of it like if someone came in here and you interviewed them and they said, hey, I've got this ghost detector.
For $5? That's ridiculous. If I spend it for $5 on a ghost detector, so even put just, me on the list.
Even just $5.
It's the ghost detector. You're going to buy a ghost detector.
Okay.
Because you believe in it that much. Okay. And $50,000 is still $50,000, even if you have $10
million. I agree.
Okay.
She has way more than that, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's still, that's okay. Still a lot of money.
All right.
Bono's $1,700 plane ticket just for his hat.
His
what?
Hat?
Mm-hmm. He took his favorite hat on vacation and spent $1,700 for a plane ticket since he wanted the hat not on his head. And he didn't want it to be bent up, so he bought a first-class ticket for it and put his hat in the seat.
Wow. That is that's really awesome. Crazy.
That's pretty cool. That's one I kind of awesome. Like. I'm being honest with you.
Oh,
that
on.
One I kind of like.
Yeah, me too.
All right, next up, Beyonce has $100,000 designer leggings. That is a significant amount of money. They are Balenciaga leggings. They are gold, embellished, and she performed in them in the BET Awards. And they're $100,000.
Wow.
What's his name? Machine Gun Kelly, when he went to the maybe Billboard Music Awards, had a $30,000 manicure.
What?
This is not on the list, but I remember
there was
him.
Gold on it. Maybe like you can remove
diamonds.
The... Right, so you remove the diamonds and you still have the money, right?
I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Because like I see that. I'm like, okay, people buy gold and store it away for so she can just put those leggings in a safe and that's gold?
Machine Gun Kelly wears the $30,000 diamond manicure to the 2022 Billboard Music Awards. The singer's nails featured over 10 carats of diamonds. It took 10 hours to create.
Wow.
So yeah, as long as they don't fall off.
Yeah, don't shake anyone's hand.
True. Also in this Beyonce story, she bought her husband, Jay-Z, a $50 million jet once.
Wow, that's nice.
That's pretty cool.
Man, I want the bow, like on the Lexus commercial when you walk out on Christmas Day and there's a big red bow. You walk out and there's a big red bow on a jet.
That's never happened crazy. To me.
I never seen a bow on anybody's car, ever. Number five, Jay-Z and his champagne bottles for $250,000. Speaking of Jay-Z, he was at a party once and he bought 75 bottles of this Ace of Spades. For $250,000. He left a $50,000 tip, but he liked it so much he bought the brand. So he owns Ace of Spades now. Paris Hilton's $325,000 doghouse is at number four. It is a designer doghouse which replicated her own home, many designer furniture exactly like hers, heating, air conditioning, and the chandelier as well.
Oh my God.
For the dog.
That's hilarious.
That's people with too much money.
Yeah.
Celine Dion has a humidifier that costs $2 million.
Whoa.
Is that for her voice?
No, Eddie, it's for her toes. Yes, what do you think?
It's an investment, guys.
To pamper her vocal cords, she needed a humidifier, obviously. I have one. My voice is kind of crappy today, too, because of allergies, but I will do the towel over the head. And so she spent $2 million for one that probably does what mine does, but she believes in it.
$2 million?
Wow.
Her other ridiculous expenses, like paying $4 million a year for her team of bodyguards, a yoga teacher, and an Olympic trainer that always goes with her everywhere.
That sounds cool.
She has a ton of money. Dang. Mike Tyson has a solid gold bathtub and Bengal tigers.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And he has a bathtub worth $2 million. And then he ended up selling that, and he bought two Bengal tigers for $150,000. you gotta be truthful about Tiger King and that show. They do look cool and awesome.
Yeah. Right.
And you would like to have one.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, but that'd be awesome to have one.
But they are cute.
And then finally, Nicolas Cage paid $1 million for a comic book collection. And it was one of those ones with, like, the first Superman, and then somebody stole them.
Oh!
Mm.
Stole his comic book collection. He later got them back and resold them, but... Spent $1 million on that, but he buys a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He's got 50 exotic cars, 12 mansions, a Gulfstream jet, a 28-room Bavarian castle, two islands in the Bahamas.
What on earth?
And even a collection of shrunken heads because you never know when you're going to need one, all right?
He has that much money?
That's what I always thought, too. And the internet is not right about people's worth. It's just not. But let's take a look anyway. Mike, what does it say Nicolas Cage's net worth is? If it's only... See, that can't be right. That can't be right.
What does it say?
$25 million. What?
But he's made over $200 million in his career.
He's made over... What, he
only has 25 left?
They have After
no...
After all those
islands.
He's
buying no all that stuff. No way to know all that. Anyway, there you go. The most ridiculous thing you've ever bought? Anyone want to say what a waste of money something was? Thinking Man. Back?
I mean, I bought a chair from the Real World House in Austin.
And piece of junk.
No, I still got it in my house. So I'm like, that's not a waste, though.
It is a piece. It was a basically a big old piece of plastic.
It's a plastic orange chair, and now it sits in my kids' room so they can dream about being on the real world one day.
I bought an iPad, and it's the stupidest. I don't need an iPad. I have a computer and I have a phone. I don't need the thing in the middle. And I'm just like, what a waste this is. We use it for the podcast sound, but an iPad to me was a big old waste of money.
Yeah.
Eddie?
Probably the gift card I got you for your birthday.
I don't know where it is still. I looked all over. I cannot find it.
Put that on the list.
Amy, anything you want to add?
Well, it's not super expensive, but I bought a banana phone the other day after Reese Witherspoon posted about it.
Like one of those old ones?
It's a Bluetooth. It connects to your iPhone. So like you can call me and I can pick it up from my banana phone.
I swear to you, if you ever do that, it's going to leave the room. If you do that.
Why?
Because that's just attention seeking, right? That's only attention.
I've had it for weeks. It's not. No.
You have your phone and the banana phone at the same time. So dumb. Just use your phone.
I'm not going to use it in public. But at home, sometimes, I mean.
So privately, you want to use a banana phone?
That's what I've had it for weeks. No, I haven't, like, posted about it or anything.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mentioned before the break, I love somebody who will hustle and go out and do work and get the rewards from that work and just not expect it. So I want to say that my whole idea of life has been show up on time and work hard. Well, somebody on the show is like, hey, I want to take a second job, which I think is great because we all have our different side hustles, but it's not in, you know, radio or TV or public, anything like that. It's way out of it. So Eddie wants to go back and be a lifeguard. Well, before you judge him.
Okay, no judgment.
Let's hear him out.
Okay.
Eddie, please explain to these guys why you'd like to be a lifeguard again.
There's a good reason. I was watching the news and there was a story about lifeguard shortages this summer. And they're like, we're in desperate need of lifeguards. So if anyone wants to apply, this is where you go. And I'm like, I mean, guys, I was a lifeguard for 5 years.
Got some saves under your belt.
Got three saves total. One was a double save. And I'm thinking, I mean, the body's not the way it used to be. I don't know if I can actually pass the test. But, I mean, why not give it a shot?
I would love for you to give it a shot for a couple reasons. One, let's see what you're made of now.
Yeah.
Your body's great. Your body is your body and nobody else's, Eddie.
I like that.
Yeah. You know what? It does a lot for you. You may not think it looks the best, but you know what it's doing for you? It's keeping you healthy.
Yeah.
Look good in that shirt today. A little Swag Crew shirt.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Go out there. Take the test. Save some lives.
Okay.
Make a little extra money.
Okay, yeah. So here's the thing.
But we have to record the test. We got to record the test.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it has to be visual.
It's the swim test that I'm worried about.
Hilarious.
Like, they do, like, a brick test. That's fine. You go under. You can tread water. I can tread water for days. But, like, actually swimming, like, 500 meters, that's going to be tough.
What does it pay? Do you know?
I mean, back when I was doing it, it was like, you know, $12 an hour.
Oh. I've seen
extra.
Similar news stories. It's about $15 an hour, but I have seen a lot of places offering $500 sign-on bonuses.
What would your kids think if they went to the pool and Pops was sitting up there with the whistle?
I think it'd be split. I think the teenager would think that's the dumbest thing ever and so embarrassed, probably would never go to the pool. But the little ones, I think they'd be like, that's my dad right there.
I mean, there is pros to this because would his kids get to swim at the pool like for free?
Absolutely.
If it's not their community pool or wherever he's working, I don't
Lunchbox,
know.
What do you think about this?
This is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard. Mr. I'm so busy, don't have time to do anything, now going to have another job?
Well, he's prioritizing saving lives is what I hear.
That's right.
That's a good point.
And why don't I have time? Because I have kids. Take them to the pool. I mean, this is free babysitting. Take him to the pool while dad's working. I get to see him while I'm working at the same time.
Now, are we being serious about this or no? Because I think it would be awesome, even if you can do 5 hours a week.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'd have to tell him, like, hey, I'm very limited on time.
I mean, but they are desperate. I'm sure they'll take what they can get.
Like, one half day on a Saturday, and the kids also go.
Yeah.
And please.
Win-win.
I'd like to have a moment with you, Eddie. Just me and you.
Record the...
Please do the test and record it.
Tryouts.
Please. I beg of you.
I haven't swam like that in years. I'm going to get schooled.
That's okay. Go take the test. See if you can do it. Okay. And I think it'd be awesome.
All right.
And it'd also be like a tell me something good where like a 90-year-old goes back to college.
No, easy. I'm
43. No, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really think he could pass the test right now?
I think if I'm betting on it, I would bet he would pass the test. But it would be tough.
Now, do you have to swim in a certain time or you just have to complete that distance?
Back in my day, it was just complete the distance.
Yeah, you got to stop saying back in my day.
I mean, that's all I know, Bones. Yeah. I haven't been a lifeguard.
Inquire.
In like
let's see, should
years.
He be a lifeguard? Let's just ask this. Should he be a lifeguard? Vote.
Yes.
No, creepy old man at the pool.
Oh, that's true, too. That part's true.
Is.
That part's
what do you
true.
Mean?
That
part's you're the creepy old dude.
I'm gonna be checking chicks out, dude.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Maybe they think, though, you're like the supervisor.
Yeah.
Until, like, your 15-year-old boss is like, Eddie, you need to pay attention.
Hey, Eddie, stand two. Eddie, stand two.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
So, okay, let us do some follow-up.
Hey, Bones, I don't know if I can have a 15-year-old boss. I don't know if I can
but
handle
you might.
That.
But give it some time. You'll be the boss in like 3 months. Just, just hang in
there. Work my way up.
Yeah. Not 5 hours a week. Come
on. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There was a group of people hanging out at Muscle Rock Beach in San Francisco. They're up on a cliff when one guy goes over the edge of the cliff, and it's 900 feet down. And so they call California Highway Patrol, like, hey, we need a rescue. We don't know where this guy is. He fell over the side. Well, he had landed on a ledge 500 feet down. So they bring the helicopter in. They're searching high winds. They spot him down there, and they tether a guy to a little pulley thing, lower him down. And the guy only has a couple scratches. They rescue him from the cliff 500 feet down.
Crazy. How was he not, like, have arms and legs broken?
Yeah.
They said literally had only a few scratches, taken to a local hospital, but, you know, they saved his life and he's okay.
I never believe that, just a few scratches. I think that's what they say if they're just not, like, have broken. I bet they're probably some cuts and bruises.
Yeah,
that's
probably deep scratches.
Yeah, they're probably like, yeah, yeah. He's good, though.
He's good.
That's quite the fall.
How crazy is it that he falls and just happens to land on a little ledge 500 feet down?
Was he doing, like, curls or something at Muscle Beach? Like,
yeah,
too much
working
weight?
Out?
He was doing push-ups.
Oh. Was he really?
No, I don't know.
Muscle Rock, what's it called?
Muscle Rock Beach.
Yeah. So maybe it's not just working out. Maybe people just
right. I think
out.
It's just called that, and it's big rocks, and he fell over the cliff, and, you know, shout out to the guy. Think about the guy you're getting lowered down, and you see this guy, and you have to grab him. Your job is to tether him to you to bring him up to safety. That's a lot of pressure.
He only got two scratches. He went at a third. All right, that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. We hope that we feel like your friends, that when you're driving, or you listen to us on podcast, you're like, man, I got to go catch up with those guys. That's like my people. That's our goal. So if we're doing that, good job, us.
Go team. Yeah.
If we're not, ain't probably listening anyway. You know what I mean? All right, let's go over and do the most important story of the day, your big stories.
Bobby's big stories.
Most important segment of the day. Sorry. All right, here we go. Man, this is a big one. I read this morning and was like, dang, this wasn't even in the news. Today's May 26th. But on May 11th, Rachel Davis, a kindergarten teacher, was rounding up her kids at recess when a man jumped the fence and rushed toward the school door. This happened in Nashville. She planted herself in front of the door, grabbed the man. He pushed past her because he grabbed and shook her. She ran after him, tackled him, broke her elbow in the process, but stopped the guy from getting to the kids.
Amazing.
For whatever reason. While she recuperated at home, parents and teachers brought food and gifts to their hero. But she was a teacher watching the kids, and some guy was walking circles on the other side of the school's fence. And so she's like, this ain't right. So kids come back in, and then that's when he apparently jumped and went at him. But she blocked, and then he got through that. And again, just think about it. So she's like, no, you can't go through. That right there, step one, is extremely brave because you're putting your life at risk. Right there. Yeah. Some nutty dude. You don't know what he has on him, a knife, a gun. He's like, no, you can't go through. Then he grabs and shakes her and throws her. Mm-hmm. And then she goes after him. Like, after that. That is a crazy story.
Tackles him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Here's a clip of the teacher saying she was going to do anything that she could to make sure the kids were safe.
These children feel like my children. And so just that strong desire that I was going to do anything I could do to make sure they were safe.
I'm voting for our senator. I don't even know if she's
going
to. Yeah.
I'm putting her in office right now just for that. That's awesome, Rachel Davis. I don't know if you listen to this show. But that's really great. I mean, you save some kids' lives, and you are a hero for sure. I mean, call us. I'll probably give her a Beanie Baby or something. I got a whole bunch of signed ones back there. I give her from the good bag. I got two. One bag that's probably crap, and then another one that Scuba said, like, these could be worth something. So, Rachel, you get one worth something Beanie Baby if you call in. Hanging out with coworkers outside of work is actually really important. A social employee earns 10 to 14% more than a non-social one in today's job market. That ends up being about $8,000 more a year than the person who just goes home. So even if you're not the life of the party, they say still go out and make social connections. Be with coworkers. Those connections allow you to advance in your career, give you more chances of scoring a high-paying job, more so than the people who don't. Because life is relationships. Life is getting people to like you. You got to have the skill set-ish, but I can tell you from being on both sides of it, being interviewed for jobs and interviewing for jobs, yes, they need to be qualified, but you want to work or have someone work for you that you like and you can work with, you can spend time with. So it's all about relationships, getting people to like you.
What did I just say in the studio yesterday, guys?
We don't lie. I mean, you say a lot of things.
Yeah. I remember. She wanted to do brunch.
She had lost her mind.
Oh, I wasn't here. I go home.
Yeah, she goes, oh, guys, we should really plan a brunch. You know what I mean? Like, when we get off work, we should go have, you know, a little breakfast and sit around and talk. And I'm like, we talk enough all day.
We're good. I just said that yesterday.
You have to understand, this show, for the most part, most of us, we grew up together. We've been together so long that before we had families, we would go on vacations together. We would do the show, go eat lunch. We'll meet you back for dinner. That we were the family. But then once other families come in, you obviously get torn in different directions. So, like, I'm good. Like, we're caught up.
So you don't want to go to the brunch?
But I'm saying I don't not like you. I met my quota.
Yeah. Glass is full.
We've been.
But I'm still planning the brunch.
No, love y'all. We've done it. But we know we're good. We've done this for years.
Yeah.
How long have we been together, Lunch Amy?
I mean, 19 May 16.
Not 19
y'all.
Years. No
with
way.
Y'all, yeah. Maybe, because I'm at 16 no and you were with him 2 to 3 years before me.
No way.
Yes.
October 2003.
I'm only 29. How is that even possible?
It's amazing.
That's crazy. We've been together 19 years?
Yeah.
That's longer
That's
than,
crazy.
That's crazy. What? I mean, it just makes us seem really old.
No, we are.
We also got started really young doing this show. We were the youngest show in the country.
Right.
So it would make us seem like we're 70 years old.
That's crazy.
But that's crazy that you said those words out loud. Never say it again, by the way.
I won't.
Yeah. Be like a few years.
Yeah.
A few years.
That's hard to swallow. And when we meet listeners that are like, oh my gosh, I used to listen to you when I was 6 years old, and now I'm an emergency room nurse. Mm-hmm.
Or,
and I'm like, what?
That's nuts.
I met one the other day, and she was like, oh, I used to listen to you. I remember listening to you as I was coming out of my mom's vaginal canal. And I was like, oh no.
Oh, wow.
What?
I'm married now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been together so long that I got my Altima before Amy got on the show.
The and he car still you have now?
Yes.
It still works?
That's the same car?
Same car.
How many miles did it have on it?
213,000.
Good for you. Jeez. That's like the Fred Flintstone car, though. There's holes holes in that floorboard where I think he starts it by using his feet.
When he said that, he was so proud.
That's pretty awesome. All right, more with the news. Social media users enter a state where they lose track of time and reality. Now, researchers have investigated and found that we use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram in a way that we lose track of everything else going on. That's why it's 10 times more dangerous to scroll social media than be on the phone when driving, because you, even though you're on your phone, you're more invested in like a 360 way into the social media than just talking to somebody on the phone. So,
can you email that story to my wife?
For what reason?
Oh, she's on that social media a lot. She loses track
at
of time.
Home?
Oh yeah.
But not driving.
Media. No, not driving, but still she doesn't pay attention to what's going on.
I wish my wife were on social media more. I'll be honest with you. She's very focused and present, and she's not. She doesn't like social media. She's not, and I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Ugh. I'm getting.
But you're using it for the wrong reasons.
What do you mean?
I'm feeling connection. I'm learning.
That's great.
Although yesterday,
I
took punches like crazy yesterday after the segment I did on this thing. Oof.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was like a.
To me, if people took that whatever way, like you were just trying to understand what was going on.
And people that don't have the same opinion, they like to be aggressive that they don't agree, right? That's just how some people work. They want to be extremely aggressive and even threatening. I got some threats yesterday.
Wow. But I mean, again, that's the problem. That's the problem. These people are the problem.
Yes, but, you know, it only takes one threat. It only takes one stabber to do a little stab, and all of a sudden you're stabbed. Save that.
That's a good quote right there.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. That story is from studyfinds.org. Josh Duggar sentenced to 12 years in prison for the child porn trial.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh.
Only 12 years?
That's what I thought, too.
I mean, that's crazy to me.
He's been sentenced to 12 and a half years behind bars for being found guilty in his child porn trial, TMZ has learned. The 19 kids and counting stars found guilty on one count, each of receiving and possessing child pornography. According to prosecutors, some of those images were minors under the age of 12. The possession charge was vacated because of an agreement between Duggar's legal team and the court, so he was only sentenced for the receiving charge. They say they're going to appeal. That is from TMZ.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a bad situation where if you're found guilty, like, I don't, it shouldn't be years. It should be like infinities.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and so once he appeals, are they allowed to say, you know what, you want to appeal that? We're going to throw that other charge back on there. More time. Let's give him more time.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a doctor, not a lawyer, so I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks. I didn't even watch the show. What kind of guy was he on the show? I never watched the show.
I didn't watch.
Anybody?
No, no.
I didn't watch.
No one just wants to admit they watch now. No, I never saw that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Lunchbox.
His wife, when he gets accused of these crimes, she stays with him and got pregnant with another child.
Maybe she didn't believe it. I don't know the story. I don't know anything about them. I think that this story gives my state a black eye because of where he's from.
Oh, they're from Arkansas?
I didn't even know that. You just put that out there. I didn't know that either.
Well, I just blacking it again.
Dang it. But also the intricacies of people's relationships. You never know what type of manipulation is going on, what type of abuse, and not in a physical way, but like just mentally, that keeps people locked in. And then there's denial. Like that's where, I mean, who knows where she was, like her mental health.
In other TV news, Kaitlyn Lowry's leaving Teen Mom 2 after 11 years.
Wow.
I mean, somebody's going to have to give me Rosetta Stone. I don't know what any of that means. I don't know who Kayla Lowry is. Or Teen Mom 2. That's not Teen Wolf.
No, it was Teen Mom. So we had 16 and Pregnant. MTV and the fans. And then you had 16 and Pregnant spinoff to Teen Mom. Teen Mom did so well, they found other girls from 16 and Pregnant, and they made Teen Mom 2. And we are losing everybody. I mean, it is starting to just boom, boom. So now they're going to combine Teen Mom 1 and Teen Mom 2, and they're just going to be like Teen Mom, like Nowadays or something.
Teen Mom Nowadays.
I don't know what exactly it's going to be called, but.
Like Kayla and Lowry?
Yes. Me and her are friends on Twitter. We tweet back and forth. We chat. She's awesome.
Is she famous to you?
Yes.
Like you're like, oh, this is really cool. I'm talking to a teen mom.
Yes. So freaking cool.
Like how I get that the show.
She came in here.
Normal now.
Did I meet her? Yeah, she was the one you guys surprised me, her and Amber Portwood.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
It just seems, the show's been around so long now, it seems normal. But in the, creation of it, like whose idea was it to be like, you know what? Let's find young girls that are pregnant and follow them around, maybe with the hopes of like, hey, this is what it really looks like, so be careful, don't get pregnant.
And that's probably how they positioned it. Maybe that's not probably what they were thinking. They're like, this would be great TV. But yes, I think to get someone to take it, it had to be that positioning.
Right, but then it's like they got famous and it sensationalized it. Then these girls, and then there's probably girls that are like, oh, I want a TV show. What if I get pregnant? And I don't know. It just seems so gross.
That's from E! Online. I don't know about gross.
Not these girls. Actually green lighting it. I wasn't in on those meetings, obviously. I don't mean the girls. No way, you weren't.
It's called Teen Mom Next Chapter.
So we're
going to a new chapter.
Yeah, not now and then.
It's not even original.
We'll do it today, I guess. That title sucked. All right, finally. The NBA is reportedly set to announce 2 expansion teams. So it's pretty cool. Eddie, you're on a sports podcast. Name the last 2 expansion teams.
But he's the
the last 2 NBA expansion teams.
That would be the Grizzlies and the Hornets.
You laughed at Grizzlies.
No, Pelicans.
I'm just laughing
Pelicans
in general. Mm-hmm. I'm not laughing at his answers because I don't know.
Ray, what do you think the last 2 expansion teams are?
I believe he's right with the Pelicans.
Yeah, Pelicans.
The other one has to be, because Portland, that Blazers, where did they go? They went there. I might agree with Eddie on that.
Okay, so the Pelicans just moved. That's not an expansion team.
Oh,
the Grizzlies were in Vancouver. That is correct.
Yeah.
They're not there anymore.
Yeah.
But they were in Vancouver. And the Raptors, the Raptors and the Grizzlies.
Okay.
Were the last 2. But the 2 cities that probably will get teams, which we've talked about before, Vegas and Seattle. Nice. Which should be awesome for both.
Now, Seattle did have the Supersonics.
They did, and they moved them to Oklahoma City.
Okay.
That is great.
I was going to put them on my list, but I was like, that was a long time ago.
Seattle, they need a team. There's no city more deserving of a team than Seattle, and Vegas will be fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, be there, slot machine, while you're watching the games. All right, that's the news.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
This is a voicemail from Colton. Here you go.
Amy, I'm so sorry. You might have gotten scammed. I don't know if you did, but go to World Vision, worldvision.org. I had 1 child. Now I have 2. I don't make a lot of money, but the money is going to such a great place. Worldvision.org.
He's
here
trying
we go.
To scam you, Amy.
Let's sponsor these kids around the world. Worldvision.org.
No.
Love you, Amy.
Worldvision.org.
Worldvision
is real.
Stop getting scammed. Give your money to good organizations.
He sounds like a scam. He's scamming us. Vision. Why does he keep saying the name of this?
He must
like
just be.
Commercial.
No, I've donated
sounds
the
like
World
Alex
Vision.
Jones.
No, they're a great organization.
I thought that was a guy being funny, like trying to scam you during the thing.
No, I think he's just trying to say, like, stick with legit organizations instead of
Oh, it is a legit. I just clicked on sponsor a child, and the click thing actually worked.
It worked. Oh,
yeah. My mom had a few kids she sponsored from World Vision.
He was being so over the top. Uh-huh. You think your mom was getting scammed, and that's genetic? It's passed down through you?
Oh, wow.
Amy gets scammed all the time.
That's possible.
No, the kids were on the fridge.
Amy came in. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were.
They were.
Yeah, I've said those same kids, different names on a lot of people's fridges.
Oh, my God.
Those scams are, we laugh, but you've literally been scammed over and over again. But you came in this morning and you're like, I think I've been scammed again because my computer's all weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I got scammed, hacked, whatever. Who knows? But
what,
all these
what
things.
What did you download?
Good question. I also, when I made the donation to the person at my door, I also wrote down my email address for him so that, remember?
You can't hack a computer through just having an email, though.
Okay. Well,
unless they send you something or you click something, they like Trojan horse you.
Mm.
But do you click?
I don't know. I try to not be that person.
Take away her computer. We're going to ground her from her devices.
Well, I don't even have a computer right now. It's broken. Okay. So,
let's do some Throwback Thursday. Let's get on track here. Go, Ray.
Bobby Bones Show.
Throwback Thursday.
You know me, I'm a country music historian. Here's some big events that all happened on this day in country music history. Let's start with 1962. Willie Nelson made his solo country chart debut, meaning the first time he's ever on the chart.
Wow.
This would become a top 10 hit. I don't know if you know it, but it's just a cool song to know because it's the first time old Willie touched the chart with Touch Me.
Touch me. Touch the hand of the man who once owned all the world.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go. Next up, 1994, on this day. Man, I used to listen to the song, and I was like, that's so deep. That's so deep. I got to, like, this is my first. Don't Take the Girl from Tim McGraw hit number one.
Take Jimmy Johnson. Take Tommy Thompson.
I tell my friends at school, you guys hear Don't Take the Girl? They're like, we don't listen to country music. Oh, you got to. It teaches a good life lesson. Today in 2001, Brooks and Dunn's single, Ain't Nothing About You.
Became
the longest running number one hit of their career with the fifth week on the R&R Country Top 50 chart. Which, that's their longest song. That's wild.
Yeah, it is
because
weird.
It's not near their biggest or the one I really associate with them.
Yeah, I would not call that one out, really.
And sometimes songs go number one and nobody knows them 3 weeks later. That happens all the time now. But that's crazy. That's their longest charting song. Best song ever is probably, they have so many good ones. Neon Moon. Yeah, but still. I saw the light, I've been baptized by, that's a jam too.
Brand New Man.
Yep, that's a good one. Obviously, Boots Scootin' Boogie, but that almost feels cliche because everybody knows it and it was so big.
But it's so good.
Yeah, Brooks and Dunn, awesome. Today in 2005, Garth Brooks proposed to Trisha Yearwood in front of more than 7,000 fans at the Crystal Palace in Bakersfield, California. He said yes. She said yes. He then proceeded to sing Amarillo by Morning and Friends in Low Places.
That's cool.
Dang, I didn't know he did a public proposal like that.
It's Garth.
Yeah.
Hey, we played the Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bakersfield's awesome. Although I got some Chinese food in Bakersfield.
Uh-oh.
Could have been a weird place I got it. But I don't think Bakersfield's known for its Chinese food.
I was about to say that. I think
it's known for its good people. I like the people there a lot. But the Chinese place I went to in Bakersfield, not the best. Also today in 2005, Carrie Underwood won American Idol. Here is Inside Your Heaven. Man, it was the biggest deal in the whole world when someone won that show. Like the first 10 seasons.
Yeah.
Things would stop. Like that doesn't happen now where a TV show is so big that everybody watches. When a massive show ends, like a Game of Thrones, still it's only like 4% of people. And then 96% of haters. I'm talking to all you.
Yeah.
And it's a big event. But when American Idol was on, every week, most people stopped and watched and finale.
The good old
days.
You
punch your friends whenever they said, no, Fantasia, no, Ruby, you know, the whole thing. That's a big show, man. Today in 2006, Jason Aldean landed his first number one song. Amy, what do you think his first number one is?
I don't know. Probably not Big Green Tractor, but that's what's in my head.
That's close time period. Here is Why.
Sometimes I wonder why. Does it always have to come?
I'm going to be honest with you. I just said 100 songs and not that one. But that, you know, that was his first number one back in the day.
Interesting.
I mean, I can't even sing along to that one.
No, I don't know it.
Baby,
so different, though.
Yeah. kiss you, baby. Is that a different song?
Yes, that's a different song.
Like, you can't put fire to this song.
Well, you can. I'm like, it's just a lower flame.
A slow burning
stage. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
In 2006, George Strait received a Doctor of Humane Letters degree from Texas State University in a private ceremony.
Wow.
So George and myself have the same doctorate.
Oh, two guys.
Yeah, we sure do. Same one. Today in 2009, Billy Currington took Good Directions to number one. Here you go. Who do you think wrote this song?
Luke Bryan.
Ah, come on. Oh, okay. We know.
Luke Bryan is one of the writers on this song. That's true.
Now, who's the other one? Who knows?
And finally, Scotty McCreery, 17 years old, won the 10th season of American Idol, the youngest man to ever do so. And Amy, who was the runner-up to Scotty McCreery?
Good question. Mm-hmm. 10th season, Scotty? I have no idea.
Okay. I would say, here's your hint. The same person Lunchbox also took creepy pictures of inside of a Chipotle.
Oh, Lauren Elena.
Lauren Elena, yes.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yes.
You
we
did.
Don't have to refer to them as creepy because they weren't creepy.
They were. Huh? Very much so. Uh-huh.
How were they? Guys, I still don't understand how they're creepy.
Look at them.
It's yeah. It's
just because her rear end happened to be in the picture.
In yoga pants, and you were a little, it was right in the middle. It was just, maybe, it just seemed creepy because there were a lot of them, too. I think a lot of them.
Because I took pictures hoping like I was going to get a side of her face.
But
and she
you know her. It's also creepy that you did that.
And then she had to ask for them to just be removed.
Which made the feeling even creepier when she texted like, hey, would you take those down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how we feel creepy. You think 19 years old is too young to get married?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Just generally speaking.
Yeah, generally.
And even, you know what? Screw it. No, 19 is just too young to get married unless you have like some sort of need to get married.
I feel like most 19-year-olds that got married and they're still together long term, that's amazing. Good for them, but I just don't know that that's like still.
They're probably like two.
It's a good luck.
Shout out to my parents.
I have a great story about this 19-year-old. He announced his engagement, but everybody flipped their crap.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And it wasn't because he's 19. What? It's a whole different reason. We'll talk about that coming up next. Bobby Bone Show.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First, and we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I want to go over to Alan in Georgia, who is on the phone right now. Alan, welcome to the show. What is your question?
Well, first, morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, so y'all always talk about how your fans are your friends. And I really love that because y'all are very open and make us feel that way. But my question was, has anybody on the show or anybody you know had a Miranda Lambert moment where they met a random fan and ended up being a lifelong friend and kept in touch, dinner, et cetera, like that? Have you ever met a random friend fan that became a friend?
Well, Miranda married that cop. I don't know if the cop was a fan or not. That's her husband now.
Yeah, because he was working.
Yeah, I don't know that relationship, if he was a fan or he was just working the morning Today show or whatever it was. So I'll move from that because I don't know it. He's actually pretty nice. So I don't want to guess and be wrong and then not be nice because I have no idea. Yes, the answer for me is yes. When we started this show, man, 2004, and we were – nobody cared. We didn't have good ratings. Nobody cared. But we did a charity golf thing. We said, hey, I think Lunchbox and I both did. We're like, we'll play golf with you. And somebody bid like $50. And so they came out and played golf with us. And it's our friend Steve, who 20 years later is like one of my best friends.
That's crazy.
So he was just like, yeah, I play golf. I'll pay money and we'll go play golf and – yes, yes. So yes, like I literally one of my best friends is somebody that we met because he was like, yeah, I'll bid $50 to play golf. I think he just wanted the free round of golf, honestly, because like, it's about the same price anyway, because our show was nothing. But yes, the answer to that is yes, Alan. I do have friends that have listened to the show. Amy listened to the show before she joined the show.
Yeah, that's how literally how Bobby and I met. He was at Culver's eating alone and I was up there just meeting my best friend, Andrea. And I look over and I'm like, hey, Andrea, that's Bobby Bones. I'm going to go say hi because I listen every morning on my hour commute to work. And I went and said hi. And that's literally how we met because I was a listener.
We could probably do this for like 30 minutes, Alan.
Bunch of friends.
Yes. I mean, so the answer is yes. Now, Amy and I don't have the same relationship as Miranda and her
husband?
Cop husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very different.
Yes. But much longer. We've been together 16 years, I think.
Yeah.
But that's the story, Alan. Appreciate that call. Anything else I can do?
No, that's great. I just wanted to know. I just was thinking of the celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many of those stories of us. We don't think we're any better than anybody. So anybody that's cool to us, we just like to be cool back, and we've made many friendships that way.
Okay, so for the rest of the people, don't be afraid to talk to your celebrity that you see at a restaurant if they're not with their family, right?
Or eating. You can say hi to a restaurant, just make sure there's no food in front of them. You know, if they're sitting down at a table, I would leave them alone. If they're walking out or in or standing, wait, yes, say hi. People like to be told that people are fans of them.
But I mean, I played it cool for sure.
With me?
Yeah. Because, I mean...
Amy, I was in a... Nobody knows...
I know, my friend, to that point, Andrea was like, who?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I'm going
to I was happy
hi.
That anybody would talk to me. I didn't care who it was. I was like, another human is saying
hi. Slid you coupons.
Yeah, ice cream coupons.
Yeah, so yes, Alan, if you see somebody that you're like, man, I'm a big fan, go up and say hi as long as they're not with their kids or they're eating.
Awesome.
Or they're on the toilet. I've had the urinal thing where I'm peeing and someone comes up. That's a weird one. I had a couple instances. Somebody wants to like take a picture with the urinal. Tough one. Say, hey, I'll get you right outside of the bathroom. Let me wash my hands.
That's
you
so weird.
That's fine. The weirdest one, though, is when I'm at the urinal and I'm peeing, and there's a stall next to me with a wall because it's the whole toilet, and the person, like, steps on the toilet and comes over the top and goes, hey, are you, look down. Are you Bobby Bones?
Yeah.
But he wasn't looking down at just me. He also saw
all of it.
Little me.
Okay.
So that'd probably be three. Three's in the bathroom. Chill. Alan, appreciate you, buddy. Have a good day.
God bless.
All right, you too, buddy. Here's the story I was talking about in the tease. A 19-year-old man has announced his engagement, and we talked about how 19, generally too young to get married, but okay, and people were not happy online because who he got engaged to is his 76-year-old girlfriend.
Ah!
What?
And he said, this is only the beginning of a long relationship.
Not that long.
yeah, it's not very long.
She could live to 90.
Yeah, maybe.
If she's lucky.
I mean, life expectancy average right now, I think, is like 78 and a half.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
In America.
Maybe that's why he did it.
He's 19. She's 76. There was a comment that said, how many billions does grandma have in her account?
And?
So, I don't. He didn't answer her. Oh. It's from the New York Post. Average life expectancy is 78.79 years in the United States. Don't worry, all these other countries live longer than we do.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just how it is.
UK's 81. Canada's 82. They get a whole 4 years on us.
Wow.
That's crazy. And it's cold up there. I don't know. Maybe they keep you...
They're happier.
It keeps you preserved longer.
What, right. The cold? Colder.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple with a busy life finally gets married after an engagement of 60 years.
Wow.
They're not that busy.
This sounds like Ray and Bay almost.
Yeah.
6 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was a long time. A British couple finally tied the knot after 60 years of engagement. 90-year-old Alex Hamilton... and his longtime fiance, Jane, 89, they got married, with the bride using an electric wheelchair to make her way down the aisle.
That's amazing.
From the New York Post.
You know what? They did it when the time was right for them.
Mm. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
And you know what? Shout out to them.
No ultimatum there.
Shout out to the 19-year-old.
Maybe the ultimatum was, I'm about to die.
Oh, crap. Okay. You want to marry me?
With the 76-year-old. Yeah. You know? I mean, they do them.
No, that one's weird.
You do you.
The other one is abnormal to be engaged that long, but I wouldn't associate weird with it. This one's weird.
They're both a little strange ones.
There's all different terms.
I'm just trying not to, you know, yeah. It's whatever.
Yeah.
No judgment.
Yeah, no judgment.
He's of age.
A little bit of judgment.
He's of age.
All right, thank you.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Lakeland, Florida. A 22-year-old woman placed an online order for McDonald's. She goes to pick it up. It's supposed to be a Happy Meal, a chocolate shake, a Filet-O-Fish sandwich, tea, and fries.
Wow.
They forgot the fries. So what'd she do? She starts throwing condiments, knocking things over, starts twerking on the counter.
Twerking.
Oh, cool.
And she called 911 on McDonald's for messing up her order.
Oh, no.
Yet... we've had so many of these where people have pulled guns. Like, I'm kind of proud of her for some reason.
Because she just twerked?
Yeah, well, she did. Yeah, she didn't pull a firearm. So it's like growth, right?
Yeah.
It's funny that her go-to in a time of crisis is to twerk.
Mm-hmm.
If more people would do that, I think we'd live in a happier
yeah,
place.
Yeah, we'd laugh a little bit.
Yeah, we would. All right.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Do you know what a boomerang kid is?
I don't.
It's a kid who leaves and then comes back and lives at home again.
Oh, that makes sense.
So who here... was a boomerang kid where you moved off, went to college, but at some point you moved back home.
I
was a boomerang kid.
Lunchbox was forever.
Yeah. I was there for probably 5 years.
But you moved off and then moved back. We were doing this show and you lived with your parents.
Yeah. I was on the radio, famous and everything, and I was back living with my parents.
Famous relative.
So Amy boomerang, Lunchbox boomerang. Eddie, did you ever boomerang?
Not a boomerang. Once I left, I stayed out.
Morgan, you ever boomerang?
Yeah, for about 10 months after college, and then I moved to Nashville.
What did you do for that 10 months? You lived there, but were you looking for something?
Yeah, I had a job at iHeart, and I just didn't want to pay to have my own place for the 10 months because I always intended to move out of the city, so...
It doesn't feel like that was what was happening with you, Lunchbox, because you were just there for a long time.
I was just there for a long time, man. It was rent-free. I mean...
Like years.
Yeah, 5 years. And then I decided, I was like, man, why would I want to pay rent when I can just live here and save my money and...
What about being like 26 years old and...
It was tough. Let me tell you, it was tough because you could never bring a chick home. You always had to go there.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that was the toughest part when you think back about the difficulties?
Absolutely toughest part.
Did you have a curfew?
No. But sometimes it would be like 4 a.m. My mom called. Hey, you okay?
She would call because you weren't home?
Yeah.
Yeah. So boomerang kids are coming back because home prices shooting up and then inflation. So a lot of adults are moving back in with their parents.
Yeah.
A study by this financial services company called Thrivent shows 40% of parents reported they have an adult child living with them. They also found this is having a very negative impact on some parents, not just their well-being, but their financial goals as well, because if their kids are home, they're also having to pay for things. Bills are higher, it's food. Because you know the kid ain't coming in going, we'll split everything, mom and pa.
No, it's the mentality that Lunchbox has.
Yes,
saving money.
It's like, well, I'm moving back, so I want to be treated like I used to. But then I also want the rights that I never got, meaning I get to go live a free life, but you're still going to pay for me like I'm a child.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the situation as far as if you're an adult listening to the show and you live with your parents, just know you're putting some struggle on them, so help out more than you probably are. It's okay to move home.
Good advice.
I never did. I moved out at like 9, you know, and never looked back. Yeah, never looked back. We will see you tomorrow. An epic in-studio performance from Dierks Bentley, John Osborne from Brothers Osborne, and Charlie Worsham. It's going to be awesome. We hope you're here. We'll see you Friday. Bye, everybody.
The Bobby Bones Show. Bobby Bones.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.